Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there.
Manny just like walked and looked around and then left, which is a good sign because he looked like he was deciding whether or not he should start terrorizing me.
I know. They become terrorists. Good morning, everybody. I don't know when you're listening to this. Maybe you listen to this at night. Hello. Welcome to G-Thanks Just Bought It. It's the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss. I'm joined by my co-host,
Sally Tamarkin.
Sally Tamarkin. And we were just talking about how our animals terrorize us during recording time and usually no other time because animals, especially cats, I feel like have the sixth sense of I need quiet and privacy.
Yeah, they know. They know when to start messing with you. That's why I respect them so much.
I know. It's like why I know that I actually – though we may pay the rent on this home, no human who lives here is in charge.
Absolutely not.
It's a cat's world and we're just living in it. Kevin will often just come in and watch me. And if I am sitting still for 3 minutes, he's like, oh, great. Okay. And then he'll just like come sit on my lap, which is fine. But he's a big boy and, you know, doesn't give me a lot of space. And then he gets up and I'm like covered in Kevin fur.
The number of things that we do not do in this house when there's a cat on us, it's like the if you have a cat on you, you have lap cat privilege and the other person has to like, you want food? The other person gets it. You need your laptop. You need a charger. You don't get up and get it. You keep cat comfy.
Yes. Dan knows this rule and often plays to his advantage. But Steve really prefers being a lap cat and – usually after the hours of 6 p.m. So the nighttime is when I come alive with my chores.
The witching hour.
The witching hour, exactly. So, okay, I know we said last week, like, oh, this week Caroline will watch Tar and Sally will watch Megan, but I didn't watch Tar and I don't think you watched Megan.
I did not. I plan to. I want to. I'm working up to it. The thing is that we watch like a lot of stuff in this house, not to brag, but I spend a lot of my life in front of the television. So it's just a matter of like working it in there, but I'll watch it this week.
Yeah. Like, look, like we all have calendars. We all have schedules. We all have alarms. We all have dreams and hopes. And Megan will one day make it into your schedule. And look, we have all the time in the world. I don't think, unfortunately, unlike Tar, I don't think Megan is up for like Best Picture.
but so it is in the hearts of so many. I can tell from Twitter that M. Threegan has like a lot of
already,
devotees.
Has already won Best
has
Picture
won.
Mm-hmm. For many of us. Yeah, I'm probably leading the charge on devotees. And I'm remembering like the last time I loved a movie like this. No, actually, that's not even true because I never loved actually, weirdly, similar name. I loved The Meg.
The Meg. I don't even know what that is.
That is like the Megalodon shark movie that came out like 5 or 6 years ago.
My God. That's a deep cut.
That was true horror in the sense that like – but it actually – you know, I'm going to have to do some comp lit, comp Meg, and figure out what they have in common because I do remember laughing and I don't love – straight up horror. So there must have been a reason I loved it. But it's just like it's kind of like Jaws of our time, you know?
Is it supposed to be campy? Because it sounds like it's supposed to be campy.
The Meg or M3?
The Meg.
Yeah, I remember it being campy. There's okay. like an incredible scene visually where there are all these people are at a beach and they're all in their like little inner tubes just floating away. And there's a, you know, shark underneath, which for some reason, like, that's why I'm trying to remember. I have to watch it again because it's been so long. But like in the way I describe it, that doesn't seem fun, funny, interesting or exciting to watch. But I remember being like, wow, this is A, visually stunning, and B, like, funny. All right, I'm gonna have to rewatch the we're gonna have to have a megathon.
I'm really fascinated because I've never heard of it, and it sounds like something that it sounds like Sharknado, you know what I mean? Something that's just sort of like part of the project is that it's like kind of silly, but maybe not.
Totally. I don't think it's – oh, wow. Meg 2 is coming out.
Meg 2, quick, The Trench.
A quick Google. Yeah, exactly. The Trench. You know, so it's like Jason Statham, Lee Bangbang, Ruby Rose, Rainn Wilson's in it. A group of scientists exploring the Marianas Trench encounter the largest marine predator that has ever existed, the Megalodon. So again, Jaws vibes, but mm-hmm. I remember it being campy. I saw it in theaters, which I think is like a perfect way to see a movie like this. You know, the experiential sort of audience moments. I remember sure. the theater was packed, mm-hmm. which is a real because this came out in 2018, a real pre-pandemic, I think sort of moment. But you know, it's sci-fi, it's action. I really liked it. I love a big animal.
Sure. A big dangerous animal.
And I love sharks named Megan, and I loved robots named Megan. So
this is the micro genre that has your name on it.
That's right. That is so right. The only thing that made me love it more is if they named the robot Caroline. So I'll deal with it, and now it's a Megan. It's a megathon.
Maybe Megan 2 will be Caroline and the E at the end will be a 3.
I love that. Oh, Sally.
Should we pitch that?
Yeah, I think we also need to manifest it. I'm going to go to like a Reiki healer soon and be like, help me make this real. Nice. You know what I did see though, while I'm an AMC A-list movie member.
Oh, wow. Excuse me.
I don't really drink. I don't call myself sober. I'm just a non-drinker. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, I'll have like a really nice margarita. I'm a kook like that. Mm-hmm. And after precisely half of one margarita, my friend Adam convinced me to become an AMC A-list movie member because he has a flexible schedule during the day similar to me. He's a writer. And he's like, you can see up to 3 movies a week. And sometimes I just take myself to the movies at 11 a.m. and it's like totally empty. It's really fun. And I was like, I want to do that. So I am an AMC movie member. And I have now seen Megan 3 times. And I think it's been worth that money. It's $25 a month. And you can see up to 9 movies a month. So
that's even so
if you,
good.
If you see 2, it pays for itself.
Now that's interesting.
It's great. And also, the theater is never full. You know, it's like – it's the most crowded a theater has been since I did an AMC A-list membership was the third time I saw Megan, and there was approximately 2 rows worth of people. Okay. And I was like, whoa, yeah. It's packed. Holy shit.
I love a first thing in the morning movie. I saw – when we saw Nope, it was like 10:50 a.m. It was incredible. Yeah.
Was anyone there?
Like, nope. 3 people.
Yeah, exactly. And I like to do you know, I don't think that Nicole Kidman in the beginning of the AMC credits would agree with me, but sometimes I will do a 10 a.m. movie and I will take the back corner seat And sometimes I do a little like work on my phone while I'm watching it. Because I'm not bothering anyone because no one's around me.
No one can see me. My light is turned down. If anyone was in within even like a tiny bit of eye shot of me, I would never do that.
You wouldn't do it, sure.
But this particular instance, over the holidays, they were doing all of the old Christmas movies for like $5 Christmas movies.
Oh, cute.
And I went and saw A Christmas Story at like 10:30 in the morning because I was like, oh, cute. Sure. My friend who was supposed to come with me tested positive for COVID. So obviously she didn't come. I know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm still going to go by myself. So I went and there was one other person and they were sitting 10 rows ahead of me and like three, you know, sections over.
That's incredible. It's like you're a private movie theater. I love that.
Literally. And I just kind of sat and answered some email and it was nice. It was really nice. I loved it. It in a world where I am in my own movie, that would have been a meet cute, but I never talked to the other person who was also watching A Christmas Story at 10 o'clock in the morning on like a Wednesday.
You got to think about how many times in our lives we've done things that should have turned into meet cutes but didn't.
Literally every day.
Every single day. Like,
what's the best thing you've ever done that could have been a meet cute?
Well, I don't have anything off the top of my head, but I'm thinking about a thing where you like two people are getting gas at the same time and one person like is like $20 on six and the person's like $5 on four and the cashier like mixes them up and then they have to like talk to be like, oh man, like you got my gas. And then they have like jokey banter about like the other person getting the first person's gas. And then next thing you know,
I love that.
Good, right?
That's really good.
It's a really, really good meet cute. But I just feel like there's so many things like that. Like, I don't know, you take someone's Starbucks order by mistake. That could be your husband, you know?
That could be your mom.
Or it could be Mr. Right Now. You know how I like to distinguish between Mr. Right Now and Mr. Right.
Or Mrs. Right Now, Sally.
Mm-hmm. MX Right Now.
Yeah, exactly. MX Right Now. Wait, I love that. And also, if you take away technology, because when is the last time I went into a gas station and had to say 20 on 7?
That's a great point. Never. Like, not in a decade.
Not since I was in high school. Like, for sure. And take away that technology, take away our phones, take away the tap to pay credit card situation.
And maybe that's why like it's such a good meet cute is because they're both like the kind of people who don't want to use technology like that. And
they have that in common. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, well, if you had used technology, you would not even have met.
Exactly. And then they go their separate ways and one of them wants to look up the other one online but doesn't know how because they don't use the internet. So that's where the best friend comes in. I feel like this is kind of a whole thing.
Sally, how have you not written this screenplay that I can guarantee we would all watch? And
I could be the next one, Harry Met Sally.
I really think that this is so incredibly When Harry Met Sally, plus also with a little bit of Nancy Meyers' The Holiday mixed in because, you know, she goes to Hollywood and that little old man teaches her what a meet cute is. And his version of it is they're at a department store and they want pajamas. And the man just says, I just need bottoms. And the woman says, I just need a top. But the pajamas are sold in pairs. So they like split the baby.
That's a good one, too.
I think you should write this.
Should it be called 20 on 6? What would it be called?
Yeah, 20 on 6. I love that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I can't wait to go. I'm going to take you to the Oscars because when I get nominated, you're going to be my date because you're here thinking of this idea with me. So it's only fair.
Okay, well, then when that happens, Andrea, I want you to be listening carefully. It's not my idea. Sally promised it. Sorry. I really think that's such a fun idea. And I really like the idea of like the best friends in both cases. If we're kind of also sort of doing not a mirror, but an inspo of When Harry Met Sally, like the Carrie Fisher character and the, oh my God, why am I forgetting his name? You know who he is.
Bruno Kirby.
Bruno Kirby character. sort of like that scene where the two of them get together because they never clicked with the with Harry or Sally, and both Harry and Sally call them individually on either side of the nightstand
when they
finally had sex, and they're trying to have this conversation without the other one knowing what conversation they're having. When they hang up the phone, Carrie Fisher says, "Promise me I'll never have to be out there again."
That's right. Oh my God. Oh my God. You'll never have to be out there again. Oh,
you'll never
so
have
good.
To be out there. So good. But I wonder, I think like there's also an element to your screenplay where it's like the best friends are always ribbing their best friend for being kind of like a Luddite.
Totally.
In that way. And it's like, you don't get it. She also wanted. She wanted 10 on 4 and then, I wanted 20 on 6.
And maybe like they can't find each other online, but they run into each other again because they both try to go to a coffee shop that only accepts credit cards. And so they end up meet again at like an ATM where they're getting out cash.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that.
This is really taking shape.
And one of them is writing a personal check at the grocery store.
absolutely.
Okay, this is gonna happen. I really love this. All right, you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. No one take this
20
idea.
20 on 6. New, and if you come out with 5 on 9,
we're gonna know.
Still will sue you.
Isn't it true that if you say it on a podcast, it's effectively trademarked?
I think totally, for sure. Patent pending.
Okay, cool.
Verbal contract, at least in New York, which is a state neither of us are in.
I'm New York adjacent, so I think it counts.
Well, also like a verbal contract stays as legal if you have proof of it, which now we do because this is recorded. So again, when you get nominated, I will be your date. Andrea, I'm sorry. It wasn't my idea. Okay.
Andrea knows that this is how the creative process works. You have to honor your creative partnerships.
It's just that's showbiz, babe. You know, like that's
showbiz.
I always
how many times a day do I say that? That's showbiz, babe.
How many times? Every time. Every time single. Andrea starts to say anything, you actually always cut her off and say, "That's showbiz, babe."
I'm like, "Can you bring me coffee?" And she's like, "I just brought you coffee." I'm like, "That's showbiz, babe."
Yeah. You're like, "I have a cat on me." That is showbiz.
That is showbiz, though. That's
that
the
really
thing.
Is. Okay, love this. Before we get into our theme of the day, I wanted to tell you that I put this in the Facebook group last night. But last night at around 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, I got it in my head that my new thing was going to be becoming a points gal.
Now that's interesting.
It is interesting. And of course, the Facebook group does what the Facebook group does best, which is they gave me some incredible tips, incredible places to start. And then there were a number of people that were like, if you are prone to getting very anxious and obsessed with things, this is not a good hobby because this will truly drive you up a wall, and nothing will become fun anymore because all you'll be doing is trying to maximize the points out of your credit card. Like have a baseline of like, oh, like, you know, I should use this card for hotels and I should use this card for 20 on 6 and I should use this card for food and just kind of have that routine going and then do fun things with the points. But I was wondering if you are at all a hashtag points day.
Not really. I do find it really stressful. Although I will say when I look at the points guy's website or blog, whatever it is, I never feel more like this guy has it all figured out than when I look at what that dude is doing. Like that dude is like, he's living life. He's like, he is one of the few people on earth for whom there is such a thing as a free lunch because he's gamed the system.
Because he's using points.
So he's using coins for his lunch, and so it's free. Yeah, I mean, we do have a card, the Sapphire card, which is like, I feel like it's kind of the starter I want to think about points card. And we've enjoyed it. And we've stayed in many a like very, very nice hotel room that we otherwise like wouldn't pay for because we've used points.
Yeah.
But it does seem stressful to me to think about it beyond that. I am prone to the things that it sounds like the Facebook group warned against. So I don't think it could be me, but I greatly admire it in others. And I'm interested in this journey for you.
You know, I just – so I like hearing – because I also – I have three cards that I use constantly. One is the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which I got. That's like the expensive annual fee one that had all of those perks when it first came out. It was like 150,000 points. And that's the one that like you can do kind of any sort of travel on. And then I have a Marriott card loyalty to the I actually am a person who's newly trying to be loyal to brands.
Okay.
In terms of travel. Usually it was like, oh, I'll just take the cheapest flight. I'll just stay at the cheapest hotel. But now I'm like, oh, I think because of the way I use credit, it makes more sense to me to get a card associated with like a hotel chain that I like and a flight, an airline that I like. And then just – so I'm a JetBlue loyalist and I have the JetBlue card and I am, I think by default, a Marriott loyalist. So I have the Marriott card. But I really like the idea of trying to figure out how to maximize using those three cards. You know, I think I kind of am like, well, obviously when I stay at a Marriott, I use my Marriott card. When I fly, I use JetBlue. You know, when I get gas, I use the Chase Sapphire. What I'm trying to figure out is that healthy medium between like, okay, you already have these three cards you really like. Here's how to navigate them. But the first thing, of course, I read was like, all right, you're going to want to open the Hilton Travel Aspire card. It has a $700 annual fee, but you get 9 million points upon signing up. You trade your firstborn and your liver for, you know what I mean? It's like, I think it's a slippery
yeah, yeah,
slope.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you go from like mildly interested to like, this is my life now pretty quickly.
Yeah. And we because, all have – oh, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it seems like one of those things that – where it really pays off if you are like fully in. But being fully in does seem like it's a bit of a lifestyle choice.
I think it is a – from what I read on this thread last night in the G-Things group, like I think it's a full lifestyle choice. That being said, I do only use credit. I don't use cash. I'm not a 20 on sixer.
Mm-mm. Me neither.
And I'd love to hear from 20 on sixer heads out there.
You know, Andrea is a 20 on six head. Like she always has cash and she,
wow,
she like pays for things in cash. It's like, I don't even know.
I have questions. Who only uses cash and is not in the mob?
She doesn't only use cash, but she uses it.
She's a frequent casher.
She's a frequent cash user.
I would love to find, if Andrea ended up being in the mob, that would be a really funny development.
That would be incredible. I mean, it comes with a lot of benefits, but I have seen a lot of mob movies, and it seems like it doesn't always end well. It never ends well. Is there a mob
like
movie
using
where
using points?
Wait. So my question about the points thing is that can you do the like? Is there a novice track where it's like, I want to get into this, but I don't want it to become my life. What are the, like the two or three things I should do if I just want to be like half in?
Okay. So that's a great question. And I think I can definitely tell you one from the group, which is if you have a label maker, literally label the credit cards that you have. How many credit cards do you have?
I mean, I have one that I really use. I think I have like an Amtrak. I used to do a lot of train travel, so I think I have like an Amtrak card and then the Sapphire.
Okay. So if you were to have more than one – so I think the first thing that you do is if you're open to it, you look up the best – having more credit cards and having more credit available is actually good for your credit score. I do know that. To a certain point. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you might want to just go look at, you know, what – I think you want to – the first thing you want to do is kind of sit down and be like – and especially if you only have one card that you actually use, this is actually an easy task. You just look and see what the perks are that are available to you. And then you go and find like a comparable card and there might be something else that offers something a little bit more. And maybe you open up like one more card if you feel like you can handle it. And that card between the Chase card and the new card that you open should – give you the most benefits on the money that you're already spending. So it's like, oh, this has good like points multiplier for like gas and groceries, or like, you know, and the Chase one is a thing. And but I saw in the group someone actually took a label maker, and in their wallet every card is like gas, groceries.
Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah, so like that's a smart thing. I mean, that's like the first step. But if you only have one card, you only have one card. But I would say for you, you might want to research opening another card.
I can't be bothered is the thing. Okay. Like I feel like I don't have the
That's the slippery slope for you.
The interest or energy. Yeah.
I get that. Then I think you just want to make sure you're taking, you know, Chase has all of those monthly offers on their site that you literally they do not apply to your card automatically. You have to add them to your card. But it's like
so annoying.
Yeah. It's like 20% off at like X, or like a year's worth of DoorDash. Like if you like DoorDash costs like $90 a year or whatever to have like no delivery fees. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes they'll be like, you get a year's worth. So it's like all of that stuff actually adds up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
totally.
I didn't think that that was important to look at until I realized that like for a year I was losing a couple hundred bucks because Chase was offering like Hulu, Disney, ESPN bundle for free for one Ooh. Year or for 6 months. And there I was paying for it.
Gotcha.
So it's stuff like that that you kind of want to stay on top of. And I feel like that's a good way to like dip your toe in.
Because yeah, that's
other
doable.
Side of it are the people who are like, you know, I have a friend. I'm not going to say her name. She's a friend of the pod. And I'll tell you who it is after. But
Misty.
I have a friend who Misty. I have a friend who came up short on her airline status right at the end of 2022, and had to in the last week of 2022, which is of course, you know, the big show in terms of the holiday end of the year, had to take a cross country flight, literally to nowhere, like exited the plane at the airport, got right back on a plane and went home just to keep her status for 2023.
Oh my goodness gracious.
That is a thing that apparently, and I sound like apparently kid, apparently a lot of people do.
So it's not just Misty.
It's not just Misty. Because, and then flights have gotten like really strict about it. They used to be like, oh, you can pay for the flight and just not take it, or you can pay using your card someone else's flight and that will apply to your account. But now they're like, you actually have to physically be the ticket holder and get on that plane.
Huh.
Which feels like applied mathematics. I feel like in a lot of cases, the time, money, and effort it takes to fly across the country for no reason probably isn't worth the perks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what does Misty get for not losing her status in 2023?
It's like, you know, all the free upgrades. I think it's like free drinks. I think it's like you board first. I'm not sure. But it's all those. It's all, those
all that things. Stuff.
And I think if you are, and Misty is, and we all know Misty, she's a frequent flyer. She travels a lot.
Okay, so it's like worth it for her to like keep the status.
Yeah, but those are the things you have to think about. And here's the thing, Sally. I was not a good math student, but if they had taught math in terms of applied mathematics, like if we had to become points days, and like present a project that's like, oh, I would have loved an applied mathematics project where it was like, you have these three, you know, fake credit cards, and here's all the perks that they offer, and here's their annual fees, and here's the interest rates, and you have to plan like a full free vacation on points, but not get yourself into debt. I might actually have enjoyed math.
No, that actually also would. You learn math and some valuable life skills, which I have to say, if someone had taught me anything about finances when I was in school, that would have totally been really useful.
Yeah, I know. Did you have any real life
introductions to credit cards, or did someone actually teach you how a credit card worked?
I learned because I don't know if they still do this on college campuses, but when I was in college, these like predatory credit card companies would be like, "Hey, do you want this card?
Do you want
it's
a
like
shirt?
It's just for students." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, totally." And it would be like the rate was like 30% or something like that. And I remember where I was when I called my dad, and I was just like, I really messed up. Like, what should I do? And he was like, how do you not know this? And I was like, what am I, psychic? Like, I don't know how I'm 18. I don't know how credit cards work. Like, what are you talking about? So that was like a very, I learned that the hard way, that like, if you don't pay, they charge a huge amount of interest, and then you're just like paying for nothing.
So did you use the card and then you didn't know that
you had
to pay it?
Yeah, I used the card.
Okay.
I used the card and I got like a huge bill because I didn't really understand how like interest works, and I just didn't understand any of that. So I was like, oh, like it's like pay the minimum. And I was like, okay, I'll pay the minimum. But like little did I know that then like the rest of the balance, they
added 30% to it.
Like 30%. And I'm just like, wait, but I didn't get anything from that. And it's like too bad. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
How about you? Did you have similar?
Yeah, I graduated college. Okay. First of all, they stopped the predatory credit card visits after the crash in 08. So I also was victim to the predatory because I got to college in 05. So I got I opened like multiple cards. I got like multiple shirts because that was a great trade.
Right.
And tote bags. Yeah, I had a real, real life experience, which is that I graduated college with like $8,000 in credit card debt
My
parents so kindly paid for my entire education for the sole purpose of being like, now once you graduate from college, you won't have any debt and you can start your life and have absolutely.
You're like counterpoint.
Like, yeah. And I was like, well, my trips to Target say otherwise. But I really, yeah, it was like pay off the minimum. So every month I'd pay $40 and every month I'd spend like $400. Which if you do the math, it doesn't add up. $7,000 also, when you are 22 and have a job that pays you after taxes $26,000 and you're living in Manhattan, which was a choice that I made, and I get that. But it was also because my parents lived close to Manhattan, and so I could commute from their house to the city and then eventually moved in. But I kept it a huge secret from my parents because I knew somewhere along the line I was like, this is not good. But my credit score was amazing, and of course banks loved me because they got tons of interest off of me. But and also when I became 22, I and moved into the city, it was just so much easier to use my credit card for things. So that $7,000 wasn't going down all the time. Like it, like, yeah, pay off 200, spend 500. Like the math doesn't really math on that. And it took me 8 or 9 years to catch up and be able to 8 years before I was able to. I was 29 when I paid off that balance. It took me a really long time. And I could never tell you what I bought, of course.
Of course.
But now I use credit so differently. I actually gave myself a 3-year break where I didn't use credit at all. I only used cash and debit because I was like, I need a minute to like recover from this. I remember like breaking down to my parents at some point in those 8 years and being like, I have credit card debt. And my parents were like, what? Like,
oh,
what?
God.
And when they reacted like that, I was like, well, there's no way I can tell them the real number. And so they were like, what? How much? And I was like, $2,100. And they freaked. And I was like, oh, my God, I didn't tell them.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yeah.
$7,000.
Many times more than that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
But I remember I went to my favorite professor in college, so panicked. This was before graduation. And just being like, I have like 4 credit cards and all together I owe like $7,000. And I was like crying. I don't know why I ended up in his office talking about this. I think it just like all came out.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, I'm going to help you. And I literally was like, so nice. Wait, is he going to pay off my card?
But that would have been amazing.
That would have been a real moment. What he did was he was like, this is what you do. You're going to go. I went to a credit union instead of a bank. They're a little less predatory. He's like, you're going to go to the credit union in town and you are going to get a loan. Like one loan with a lower interest than all of these cards. And you're going to immediately pay off the cards with this loan.
Oh, that's so smart.
And then you are going to set up a payment plan. Every month you're going to pay off. And he like helped me do the math. And he was like a literature professor. So he wasn't even like a
this
math
dude
guy.
Rules.
He was the best. Nick McBride, shout out. This is for all the teachers who thought I'd never amount to nothing. which clearly one time he was like, I have to give you a B+ on this paper, even though you deserve a D, only because I'm impressed with how much effort you put in trying to convince me you read this book, which
That's
I know you didn't.
Incredible. Yeah. What was the book?
I think it might have been Siddhartha.
I in high school, I did not read Of Mice and Men, but I did watch the movie and I wrote a reaction paper to it. And my teacher wrote, next time, try reading the book. And I was like, touche, madam, touche.
You're like, no, I totally did. I watched it with my eyes.
Exactly.
So it took me 8 years to pay off that loan. But he said, every time you make a little bit more money, you increase that payment on that loan. Mm. And now you only have one payment to worry about and the interest rate is lower. So I went from having like a, you know, 30% interest rate on these credit cards to having like a 16% on this loan. And it took me 8 years to pay off and $7,000 probably became somewhere around $9,000 or $10,000. And I learned my lesson. But in the last 10 years, no, just kidding. I'm only 35. I think in the last like 5 years, 6 years, maybe even 7, I have now been like, I took that credit card break while I was paying down this.
Mm.
So once the balance was at zero, I was like, okay, I know how to use credit now, which is that I only use credit and then every month I pay off the bill in full and we don't get funny about it.
Yeah, good. That's smart. Don't get cute.
Don't get cute. All of that to say, that was a real life credit lesson that I wish I didn't have to learn, but it is really the only way that I learned. I don't know that anyone telling me anything would have changed anything.
Would have changed, though. Yeah.
You know sometimes you just got to step in the shit yourself.
Totally.
but now I'm like, I want to be a points day. You know, I just want to – I want to be like, oh, I'm going to Europe. For free. I just want to
people
see
who are like
feels.
I'm going to Singapore in first class for free
for $12.
It's like, yeah it's like I admire that, like, you know, and the work that goes into it, it's gonna pay off.
Now I have a preferential question for you. Are you the kind of person that likes to spend money on the flights you don't want to take? So let's say, and we'll talk pre-pandemic because I know you haven't done a ton of flying. Have you been on a plane since the pandemic?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no. Okay. So pre-pandemic, forget the pandemic. Forget about it.
Done.
Are you somebody who would rather pay cash for like a flight that you're not super to a place you're not super interested in? Maybe you're visiting family. Maybe you have to go home for like a funeral, like something kind of like unsexy, and get the points from that transaction and then take a fun, sexy trip, technically like for free on points? Or are you happier paying for the sexy trip on with cash? And that way you never have to feel like for all the unsexy travel you have to ever put down a dollar.
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that I would be bummed out to use my free to use like points to make like an unsexy trip free. Cause like I get the mindset of being like, I don't really want to take this trip, but at least I didn't pay for it. But I think I prefer the mindset of like, this cool, sexy, fun trip is free.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I would rather be like, I paid for this vacation and now I never have to pay for a flight I don't want to take again.
No,
but
people
are like,
oh yeah, no right. That was,
that's what you meant, right?
No, wait, no. I meant pay for the funeral in my mind. Now it's funeral flight, pay for the flight to the funeral. And then the sexy vacation's free. Okay, I can't wait to go on a sexy vacation.
I think after you win, honestly, after you win Best Picture for 20 on 6,
mm-hmm.
they are going to send you.
I'll probably, yeah, and it'll be free. I'll probably go
in the swag bag.
In the, yeah. First class like tickets to
they'll have
Paris
tickets.
Or something. Yeah.
Now, who are you taking? I mean, I know I went with you to the Academy Awards. Right. So like, I guess I probably get my own swag bag as a guest.
You get your own swag bag. And so then we both get to decide who we take on our first class trip to Paris.
Okay. Andrea and Dan, you're like on notice.
Yeah. So pack your bags.
Pack your bags. I love that. Okay. I love that. And what year? Just so like I can put it in my calendar.
So it's 2023
like
now.
Production run. Yeah. Are we thinking like 2026? Do you need more time? Are you going to sort of fast track this and, try to get in for award season next year? Like, what's your plan?
I feel like this thing is half written. You know what I mean? So I feel like I'll get the other half written in the first half of this year, 2023.
Yeah. Classic.
Start shopping it around. It gets made in the first half of 2024. And then, I think it'll be up for awards in the 2024 season.
Okay. Yeah. So we think that, so the beginning of 2025 is when the awards for all the movies that came out in 2024.
Exactly.
Are we thinking Christmas release 2024?
No, that's interesting. I could be convinced. I feel like that's going to change the like genre sort of, because I feel like
the,
you can't
the tenor,
do. Yeah, because you can't really release a rom-com around Christmas unless it's like Christmas themed, which I don't see that for this particular movie. So
I don't either. Okay.
Maybe
I'm
it's a fall release?
A fall release.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking like coming November. I like see that. You know, I can see that on the screen.
20 on 6.
Dreamcast. Have you thought about this at all in the last 15 minutes?
Not yet, but we really do. So we need a Carrie Fisher type as the best friend. That goes without saying. And a Bruno Kirby type as the other best friend.
Of course. Who is like the Carrie Fisher of our time in terms of
such
like
a good
acting?
Question.
You know, I'm.
Who has like national treasure status?
Right. But like is in our.
It's really a toughie.
And do we even know yet? I mean, we did know about Carrie Fisher when she – like, we knew Carrie Fisher had national treasure status, I think, in When Harry Met Sally, and she was in her 30s.
Totally. Yeah, well, I mean, but she had been acting since she was so young, you know?
Is it –
wasn't she
like
a teenager in Star Wars?
Yeah, she was. Is it like a Drew Barrymore who everyone loves?
Drew Barrymore's – that's like getting there, but –
That's like a classic best friend type too.
Actually, that's true. She could be a best friend. Carrie Fisher, the problem is that like to me she's so singular. It's really hard to think of someone who can like fill those shoes.
No, but I think it also has to be someone who can like ignite the same amount of like who has anything bad to say about Carrie Fisher and who has anything bad to say about Drew Barrymore really, especially
That's a good point.
There's other like a Jennifer Hudson type. Like you have someone who's already like EGOTed, in this role, you know, and it's like they're there. They don't have to carry the movie.
Right.
But like you already trust them. And so if they're like the Greek chorus, I don't know. We got to cast it. I mean, considering the timing, like we're already.
I know we're going to get behind pretty quickly if we don't cast it.
20 on 6.
I will think about the cast because we have to get a big name attached, I think. I think that's like really crucial.
Mm-hmm. We do. We need like a big A-list producer. And that won't be hard because they're always available.
What about like Melanie Lynskey?
Huh.
She's delightful.
Huh.
Not as famous as your Carrie Fishers, but,
no, but
really,
like,
really delightful.
Really delightful. Would she have her accent?
No, she's an expert at doing, although her New Zealand accent is really charming. I could go either way on that.
Me too.
And she doesn't really get to use it as much. So yeah, maybe let's keep her doing her New Zealand accent.
I think let's do it. You know, I did not realize that she was married to Jason Ritter.
Isn't that so cute? I love
her
so much.
It is so cute.
She's great.
Oh my God, and I love Jason Ritter. Okay, Melanie Lynskey's in, and she's available because I just emailed her. And she just emailed me back, and she was like,
oh my God,
we're
making so much progress. The timeline was aggressive, but I feel like we're making a lot of progress.
I got to tell you, this episode took a turn. I think we should save. So we, surprise, we got off track, but I'm really glad that we talked about points, and I'm really glad that we talked about 20 on 6, but like points is something that I want to hear about from everyone. Oh, speaking of hear about from everyone, we can't do it today during this episode, but like, I love the thread about the Gonzo game that we played on Facebook. So funny.
It's so good. There's so much amazing stuff in there.
It's so funny.
We need to do like a live, like going through that thread and like selecting our winners.
Totally. I think
and our
we
honorable
could do,
mentions.
Let's do that during – we'll do that during next week's episode, which is when we will actually talk about the thing we were going to talk about during this week's episode, but we didn't because we ended up talking about being a points guy, a points gal, a points they. So next week's episode will be about the cosification of a home.
Mm-hmm. The cosification of America.
The cosification of America. And then I have, as a bullet point, apparently the answer is lamps. So
that's
we have a
true.
Lot to dive
I feel
into.
That that's true.
It is true. It is true. So we have a lot to dive into the next episode. For now, I would love to hear from people who have either – who feel that they have personally, like, whatever gaming the point system means to you, I want to hear about it. I don't think that there's one correct way to use points or to collect points. So I would love to hear everyone's strats. And I would also love to hear from anyone who failed miserably at gaming the point system, because I think that will make me feel better, because I think probably I'm on that path more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. You know, I also want to – I'm interested also in like the little – just like the day-to-day things, like the coffee shop that gives you like the 10th thing for free if you get 10 cups or like the sandwich – like because I feel like that can – start to also pay off, and it's not as ambitious as you're not flying first class across the world, but maybe you're getting a free coffee out of it. I think the coffee shops I frequent don't have any type of loyalty thing, but like they should.
Yeah, they really should. I mean, that's how I feel about the Target card. It's 5% back mm-hmm. on every, and I shop at Target so much, so it's like, yeah, I mean, I could be using a different credit card and all of those things could be converting to points, but I'm actually quite pleased when I get, you know, 5, 10, 12 bucks back on a receipt. But
see,
I guess what I want to know is I want to know for sure, because I'm sure there are people who are going to be like, oh, you should not be using a Target card. You should be using your Chase card because it'll give you 2x points on shopping, and that will equal X dollars on travel. And it's like, that's what I need to see. And that's where the math of the early 2000s and late 90s has failed me.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing that I feel stressed out about in terms of like choices I would have to make, which is just that like, well, is it better to use the Target store card or to use like the points credit card? Like, it would be, I guess when you get really into it, you just figure it out and then you do it, or you just like ask someone in a forum and they're like, here's what you should do, and then you do it. But I think that I would be stressed out like thinking about, you know, what the best move was, because once you get into the right. business of like optimizing things, there's no, if you're like, I want to optimize things to save as much money as possible, then the logical conclusion of that is like making the most optimized choice every single time, which
that's what everyone
it stresses me
against.
Out.
It's like, that's not fun. But if I could definitively put down my 4 credit cards and someone could be like, okay, for shopping, like if I could get a label maker out and know, like, here's the card I use for gas, here's the card I use for this, then I would feel good about it.
Yeah.
Sally, give me 1 second. I just have to let Lottie out and to her, the daycare. Give me 1 minute.
I don't know if listeners can hear, but I'm hearing lots of very happy, excited yowls from Lottie in the background.
Lottie gets to go. I hope listeners could hear that.
I was just saying to the listeners that I could hear like excited yowls, I think. Uh-huh. Was that Lottie?
Oh yeah, that's Lottie.
That's amazing.
Lottie goes on a pack hike 2 times a week, sometimes 3.
That's so cute. A
couple hours in the morning. I take her on like a nice long walk, but know thyself. I'm not going to walk this dog Mm-mm. 4 miles uphill multiple times a week.
Mm-mm.
And
that's someone else's job. That's none of your business.
That's 20 on 6, 20 on 4 miles uphill with Lottie.
Hard pass
for me. I love having a dog, but I think with anything in life, for the better of whoever's benefiting, you can outsource things like that. And Lottie actually gets a lot out of going on her pack hikes, but I'm pretty convinced she thinks Ashley, the dog walker, is her real family. And she comes to my house to play with me and the cats.
You're the babysitter.
In between. Exactly. Because there's a lot of excitement that comes when, you know.
That is so funny.
Because she like gets to bond with dogs. It's like a whole thing. It's very cute. She sends pictures and
aww.
I love it. And again,
and so does
like,
Lottie.
To all of the listeners out there who like me have fur animals in their house but not children, it's a slippery slope of, you know, bougie food and paying someone to hike with your dog, and we all know it, and it's a judgment-free zone.
For a long time before we had to get special food for Miles,
yeah,
we were buying this canned food that was like – so it looked like human food. Like it looked like you could just dump the can out and like put it on a salad. It was like not the cat food of our youth. And it was uh-huh. just like, this is the most expensive. Like he's eating better than us for sure. But you know what? He's my son.
Right. Isn't that so funny how like, I don't think I would have like judged anybody. Or maybe that's giving myself too much credit, but I would say that until we got the dog, I don't know that I understood
true love.
The bougie, yeah, that, but also like bougie food. And now Lottie eats like truly, it could go on top of rice with a little sauce in it.
100%. Like 100%. We had a neighbor over for dinner and she was looking around. She was like, is there anything that your cats like don't have? Cause we have like a lot of, they have like, there's a shelf and a cat tree and like toys. And we were like, no, yeah. No, there's not.
I mean, there's nothing. They want for nothing.
And they never will.
All right. I'm excited to hear about everyone's points journey. Next week, we will do what we came here to do, which is the cosification of America. Bullet point, apparently the answer is lamps. And until then, watch Megan, watch the Meg, watch Tar, get ready to watch 20 on 6. Use your points. Don't go into debt. Let us know if you have any tips for us. And this is a great episode. I really look forward to hearing what people have to say.
I do too. And also, if anyone wants to like say who they would cast in 20 on 6, like if you have some ideas as you're like listening, I'd love to hear that too.
Oh, yeah, please. And if you have connections to that showbiz, or, you know, if you also are an actor, I know we have some community theater bays out there. Please get in touch. There will be casting. You know, it takes a village. Okay. Yeah. We're going to make the best 20 on 6 this town has ever seen. Truly. Mm-hmm. Madly, deeply. I can't wait. Dreamcast, let's go. Sally, as always, thank you.
Thank you. Right back. What a pleasure.
And you can follow Sally at Oh, I Like That pod, right? Oh, I Like yep. That pod.
Oh, I Like That pod on Instagram.
And what I like about Oh, I Like That pod's Instagram presence is I love checking in with my feelings about the days of the week every day.
Mm-hmm.
And every time Thursday rolls along, I realize that like I need to also know people are not enjoying Thursday the same way that I'm not enjoying Thursday. And I get that when I go to the Oh, I Like That pod.
Friday Junior.
Instagram, Friday Junior. And some people are like, yay, Friday Junior. And some people are like, damn, I need Friday Senior, please.
Yeah, it's tough Friday because Junior you're glad it's brother. Thursday, but you wish it was Friday.
Ugh, a human feeling I know all too well. And you can follow G-Thanks at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. Yeah, as always. See ya, and we'll talk to you next week. Remember, apparently the answer is lamps.
Lamps. We'll
see you next week. Have a great one. Have a great one. Have a great one.
You just listened to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Gruba and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the G-Thanks Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod and the G-Thanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at gthanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at Caroline at gthanksjustboughtit.com or leave me a message at 424-245-0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. G-Thanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our G-Thanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/gthanksandfriends.